This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
You guys, we were lucky enough to have a fantastic interview with Jonathan Majors, who stars in a new movie called Devotion that is hitting the screen pretty soon. But look, he's doing so much stuff. He's got Devotion. He's playing Kang in the MCU. He's got Creed 3 coming up. Yeah. The guy's just everywhere. One of the fastest rising stars in Hollywood, and we got him on Higher Learning, man. It was fantastic.
Dallas's own. Put that out there.
Dallas's own. DF Dubs
What? A thought warrior.
Loves the podcast.
Yeah.
Which means we love him.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors on Higher Learning up next.
So you guys, Higher Learning, this is a gigantic podcast we're on right now. It is, man. We got a brother right now who is, keep doing your thing, man. You deserve it.
Eat this rice cake.
We eat on the podcast all the time. We have a brother that is just, over the last 4 or 5 years, has just exploded onto the scene. He's been working for a lot longer than that, but he has acted his way into our hearts and onto the A-list. Jonathan Majors joins us today on Higher Learning. Now, I have a question about y'all hood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you grew up in Dallas, right? Grew up in Dallas. Now Rachel's y'all from the same place. How could it be one hood with that many zip codes though?
It's Texas, baby. That's how we get down.
Well, I'm saying that, yeah. Isn't that kind of more like its own town? I mean, that's 9 zip codes in one hood, bro.
I say it's like, what is it? It's Oak Cliff. What's South Dallas?
South Dallas.
Right? Oak Cliff. That's like it's just a spot.
Yeah.
It's huge.
There's parts of DeSoto where you'd be like, there's parts of Duncanville, you'd be like, Cedar Hill, kind of, you know. But Oak Cliff is Oak Cliff. Yeah.
What was it like growing up in Oak Cliff?
Let me be clear. My stepdaddy lived in Oak Cliff, off Keys. I got kicked out of a few schools. So I went to Duncanville. No, I went to Cedar Hill first. Got kicked out of Cedar Hill, went to Duncanville. And then lived with my stepdaddy, off Keys Boulevard, in these crazy ass. Can you curse?
Yes, you can.
I've heard you.
You definitely can.
I've heard you. Right off Keys Boulevard. It's the bomb, bro. I mean, honestly, when I was there, and we can be honest, it's tough. You know what I mean? Right now they got like coffee shops and all types of stuff. We got hit. It got gentrified. You know, Oak Cliff, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, Midlothian.
You talk to people now when they talk about the Oak Cliff, they're like, oh my God, I love Oak Cliff. They have the best coffee shop, great art shops, great little vintage. Nah. That's not necessarily how it was. To be fair, I did go to private school, so I always have to say that.
We was just there doing Hip Hop Homicides. I must have been in the fucked up part.
Because we
covered Mo 3's death on Hip Hop Homicides.
Okay.
And so we had to go down to Oak Cliff, and it was still going down parts of Oak Cliff.
You must have been in it.
Yeah.
I mean, off Keys is still crazy.
Right.
By the bazaar.
We live off Keys, yeah.
By Big T.
Did you go to Big T?
Mm-mm.
Big T is crazy.
I don't know what the fuck this is y'all talking about.
You're close to Wingfields, which is a burger joint.
Did you go to Rudy's?
Rudy's Chicken! Woo!
It's so nice to have somebody.
Let me tell you, I had your back. I was like, okay, maybe not Mexican food, but food in general. We got Williams Chicken, which is like,
I see. We live by Williams Chicken.
Yeah, you think the food is better in Dallas than in LA?
Oh,
It's tough.
It's different.
I would say, well, we have a clear culture, though. Mm. There's a clear culture in
that's very true.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
So it's like, we only got about three types of food. And all three of those are hidden. You know what I mean? Now, if you say, oh, who got the best Italian? It's a different, that's not in our lexicon. We don't really do that.
Right.
You know, who got the best fried chicken, barbecue, burgers, stuff like that.
Yeah. What do you miss the most about Dallas?
Probably my mama. But I like driving in Dallas.
I do too.
I like driving in Dallas. I think it's cool. We got that, you know, the building with all the green dots on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's cool. It's a cool little skyline. You know, it ain't LA, it ain't New York, but it's like it's home. So I mean, I'm extremely biased. You know, right. I was born in California.
Lompoc.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Lompoc. Yeah, out by Vandenberg Military Base. Santa Barbara's beautiful, but I just don't. It just ain't stick. You know, my all my folks is from. I mean, you talk about Oak Cliff. I'm talking about Waco. Riesel, Killeen, you know, like that's, we call that down home. So that's where we from. But then my mom and them, Oak Cliff.
When you get to Yale, when you come from any of those places and you get to Yale, is there a culture shock when you're going there? Because classically trained actor, you know what you want to do. Mm. You go to Yale later on in life. Like, how does that affect you? Like, what was it like when you got on campus there?
Well, that was deep because before Yale, I went to North Carolina School of the Arts, which is an arts conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
And so Yale is essentially an arts conservatory for grownups. So the first culture shock would have happened there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember talking about, you know, down home, Booker T. Washington. My first girlfriend was a dancer. And she went to Booker T. Washington. And they had just, you know, that's where Erykah Badu went. That's where Norah Jones went.
Shaheen.
Oh,
my ex was an actor at Booker T. Washington.
Okay, okay, wicked, wicked. She had went there, and I really wanted to audition and get in, and I went to visit, and that's where I had the biggest culture shock, where I was like, yo, I don't even know about this. You know, like, these were like artists capital A, you know what I mean? Like, and no disrespect, but I was like, again, I got kicked out of schools, I was fighting, I was shopped, I was in it, you know what I mean? And playing sports still. And so when I got there, that was a culture shock. I was like, this ain't gonna work for me.
You know what you was getting kicked out of school for?
You know, fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fights. You know, I was peculiar in a way. You know what I mean? You know, and they would come for me, or I would feel like they would come for me, and you know, it was tough. You know, it was rigged, bro. You know, it was rigged, and I was sensitive to it. But that was a big culture shock. And then when you get to North Carolina School of the Arts, it's another thing because that's a, you know, arts conservatory. You know, they're trying to change how you talk, essentially. Everybody from all over the world. That was wild. But the art was kind of the thing that always kind of pushed me through. I was like, I don't really care. You know what I mean? I kind of always had that attitude, which is why I kept getting like, kicked out of school. You know? I was like, I'm not really worried about y'all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of kept to myself. Was kind of a, you know, it's probably not the best thing, you know, but lone wolf kind of shit. You know?
Right.
And also when I got the year, I had my daughter was 3 months old. So I wasn't going there to play. You
right.
know what I mean? I wasn't going there to like figure it out. You know, I was like, this is it, you know, and this gotta work. So wasn't no time to be shocked. Mm. You know what I mean? It was like,
get to the business.
Bring the panic.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know what I mean?
What up?
Can I ask you, where did your love of acting come from? Like, how did you know that that's what you always wanted to do?
My mama is a pastor. And we got a lot of pastors in my family. And I played a lot of sports. Mm-hmm. And I just really liked, the coaches, you know, like I was sort of get caught up in the speeches the coaches were doing. And also I read a lot, you know, of course you do as a church boy, you know, memorize them verses, sing them songs, you know, expression is a big part of, you know, black culture, especially Southern black culture. You know, we are orators, you know, in a way. And so I listen to my granddaddy talk and I just like that. You know, it's funny because I it's not like, oh, I saw this film. It was like, oh, man, I want to do that. It was like, we weren't watching movies. You know what I mean? We were going to church. We was reading books. And I was, you know, either getting my ass beat or trying to get back at somebody. You know what I mean? So, or running around the farm, you know. But my imagination is just kind of, with all that bullying and all that, you know, yeah, they had ISS. When you was in school?
What's ISS?
In school suspension.
Oh, hell yeah. In clinic.
Hell yeah.
So clinic.
Clinic.
Get a clinic.
Clinic, yeah.
Yeah.
So before I was expelled from a school, I would be in ISS for a good period of time.
Yeah.
And as you know, in ISS or clinic, mm-hmm. you just kind of sit in a portable, you know, right. and then you're in a little cubicle by yourself, you know, and you just there with your imagination and these three blank walls in front of you. And I read Top Dog Underdog. You know that play?
Of course.
Yeah. My boy, my homie, let's be clear, my homie and then my friend, mm-hmm. our colleague, are doing it right now on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
Go see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
With Yaley. Yeah. He was there for my audition. Great brother. Congratulations, bro. And then Corey Hawkins, who was at J-Town, which we call Juilliard.
Mm-hmm. What y'all call Juilliard?
J-Town. Yeah, I don't know if they call it, but we definitely call it that. Yeah,
we can niggify anything.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you at J-Town?
Were you J-Town? J-Town?
Okay. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's Juilliard. And Mackie went there, and like
Mackie went there.
Yeah, like a lot of people y'all go there.
J-Town,
Miles Davis, like all
the homies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean the homies.
Yeah.
Shit, what were we saying?
You were talking about Top Dog Underdog.
Oh, yeah. I read Top Dog Underdog, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, Susan Laurie Parks, Pulitzer Prize winning play. And I remember reading that, and I just memorized it. Mm. I memorized it in the cubicle and was just working on it, you know what I mean? And then Saturday school, because I was truant, you know what I mean? And I would be truant because I would go to a SMU mm-hmm. or I would mm-hmm. go to TCU and kind of walk around the campus and poke in on the theater classes if I could. And then take my ass back to you know, see the hill at Duncanville or daddy's house or whatever.
Hmm. So this was a deep love once you got into it. At what age would you say that you knew that this is what you had to be doing?
Probably about 14.
Okay.
14. I just got into it. It was like the kind of like the crossroads. You know, not to be too earnest about it, but I was in it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? They put me in this like very clear alternative program. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh man. It was like, we got to figure something out, you know. And my people, I mean, they looked after me. You know, I wasn't doing nothing crazy. I just was doing, you know, bad shit. You know, like, don't do that. You know? I think what got me that time was, it was around Christmas time. And I shoplifted from Kohl's all my family's Christmas gifts. And got busted. And
damn.
Man. And that put me in this real alternative type program at the school. That in addition to probably some scrape I was in. And that was the pause. That was like, okay, you got to figure this out. And there was a guy there named Mr. Anderson, who, no relation to my family, though my maternal family is Anderson, mm-hmm. Who was just that, he was just that homie. You know what I mean? He was just that man. Mm-hmm. You go, oh, shit, like, when I grow up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he reinforced a lot of what my uncle, who essentially was my dad, and my grandfather's putting in me. And then from that point, I got introduced to this lady, name is Lee Jong, Miss LJ. And I can go down, you know, Miss LJ was the theater teacher. She took me to Mr. Peoples. Mr. Peoples took me to Mrs. Andrews, who was with Mrs. Rogers. And they took me to Mr. and Mrs. Williams. And these are my acting teachers, yeah. You know. And it was the Williams couple that said, you know, you're gonna go to school for this. You know, and I did TFA, you know, mm-hmm. which is Texas Fringes Association. And so then I kind of had something to do. You know, my sister was a debater. That's like a thing down mm-hmm. home, you know. You play football, you know, forensics. And I was doing that, and they had this thing called dramatic interpretation, which you essentially take a play and you cut it down to 10 minutes and you do it by yourself. And I took to that, and it worked, and the Williams couple really pushed me out, you know, mm-hmm. with an audition. And I mean, that's 14 to 18. That's that run.
Formative, yeah.
Yeah, and then at 17, I was, again, got into it, and but this time at a domestic, you know, with my stepdad, who I love dearly, he knows that, but it went down. And I was in my car for a long time. So I lived in my car my final year of, a little bit.
So you had a scrape with your stepdad, you had to move out of the house.
Kicked out the house. One of those. I'm out. Was living in my car and working at a Starbucks. And again, I was, you know, borrowing the acting books, you know, from the cafe. And I would sit in the car and read them. And it was just my solace. And I just kind of stuck with it.
Mm. Wow. I'm like deep in your story. I don't. You know what it is too. I guess I'm picturing every single thing that you're saying, and then just because we're from the same area, I'm like imagining where you were and what you were doing. And then you said Starbucks. I was like, which Starbucks was he at?
Yeah.
You talk about different inspirations, you know, growing up and kind of who led you on the path to school and acting and all of that. I know you've mentioned Denzel Washington as an inspiration for you.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Denzel Washington movie and why?
Oh wow. Let's go with X.
Okay.
I'd say Malcolm X. You get the most Denzel in Malcolm X. You know, you see him as the hustler, you know, you see him do that thing, and then you see him, you know, you see the spiritual elements. It's very rare, you know, he's such a man of faith, and I believe it's always there, but there's something about allowing the spirit to come in the work, you know, and with Islam, you know, when he does that transition, you look at him and he's glowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's actually glowing. And I go, oh, wow, that's, you know, in the game, watching it now, you go, yeah, that's actually, that's something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something different is happening, you know. You know, Uncle Spike also directed him on it. So I, working with Spike, I know he was pushing him, you know, and they were gaming with each other and building it. And, the oration of X. I mean, he really just, it's very similar to what we attempted to do in Devotion, you know, this latest picture. Where
let's talk about that, yeah.
Jesse Brown, you hope to disappear into this individual, you know, and that's what I saw D do. That's why there's no more Malcolm X biopics. No one's going to touch it. It's done. It's essentially done. You know, unless they want to make a 3D version and have him, you know what I mean? Like it's over. You know, like that is it. You know, you shouldn't touch it.
Or one, shout out to my little brother who one time showed me a picture of Malcolm X, and it was Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm glad that you love Denzel, but let me show you something. This is not, you know what I mean? But it meant that role meant that much to people. And to be honest with you, like at that time when they made the movie, it was hard for Spike to get the money
for it.
And so I remember watching the movie, and at the end of the movie, seeing like Janet Jackson with an X hat on and seeing all these other people because they had helped Spike get the money to make the movie.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
This film that you're in now, Devotion, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you about it because there's so much stuff that you're doing that people are super duper hyped for.
Mm-hmm.
I do another podcast on this.
I know, I listen to that too. I'm a big fan of yours, bro. Oh, I'm being cool right now.
I appreciate
you. Ring of verse.
Yeah. So,
and I heard you talk shit about Black Adam, and then I heard you say what you said about Quantumania. I'm just telling you, stay tuned, bro. Stay tuned.
I like Black Adam. Shout out to Aldous Hodge.
Shout out to Aldous Hodge.
I like Black Adam.
Yeah.
So.
Did you talk bad about Black Adam?
Nah, it was just.
Had Aldous on the podcast.
I didn't talk bad about it. The movie was cool. I thought Aldous and Dr. Fate were the best parts of Black Adam.
That's what he said.
I thought they were the best parts of Black Adam.
You said they did Hawkman wrong.
Yeah, they did. The Hawkman, they got to let my man Hawkman win some more fights.
I'm going to talk to you
about some fights that you're about to be in some of these movies too in a second.
I'm not afraid, bro.
But this film right here, Devotion, when you look at the Kangs and you look at the Creeds, two things that people are super duper excited for, this movie seems to have an amazing epic. You have Glenn Powell in this film, who's just coming off Top Gun Maverick, you know what I mean? This seems to be in and of itself a movie that people really should go see. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like in any way that with you having so much stuff, people are so excited for the things that you're doing, mm-hmm. that a film like this gets lost in the shuffle? Or is there anything specifically you want to say to make sure that you drive people to go see it? Because everybody's waiting for Kang. Everybody's waiting for Creed. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, shit, I got to see this shit, because this is a story about a black man that I did not know before. Right. And it's very important. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I'm sure mm-hmm. it's going to be a great film.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say just scheduling. You know? Yeah. It comes out first. So there's that. right. Check that out. But I would also say, I mean, there is no IP on this. You know what I mean? This is a real brother. Let's break it down. So a young black boy is born in Mississippi to sharecroppers. He wants to be an aviator, a naval aviator. He changes the way he speaks. He memorizes what people say to him, good and bad, but he records the bad and he keeps it with him. He travels to Florida. He secretly marries his wife. He then ascends to be the top naval aviator in the Navy. He does all this by the time he's 23 years old.
Shit.
That's a superhero. That should be enough for y'all to see it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And this is, I mean, very much like Brother Washington. You know, this is the handshake. You know what I mean? Don't miss it. You know, this is the handshake. This is the first time you're going to meet him, you know, and we did our best to keep this truthful, to make it as truthful and as honest as possible and as powerful. You know, when you meet this guy, you go, yeah, he is a superhero. That's why I did it, mm-hmm. you know, because I thought, yeah, this guy's going to give you energy. This guy's going to put power in you. You know, he's going to remind you of what you already got, you know, because you don't really got a cape. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really fly. You know, but you were really born in the mud, like Jesse Brown, you know, and you really can, you know, ascend to heights that your social status or, you know, the, you know, fucked up patriarchy that we live in, try to hold you back from. You can't do that. That's the story of Jesse Brown. That's why I see it. That's why I did it. Yeah.
What was the process? Glenn's from Texas, by the
Glenn
way.
Glenn is from Texas.
God damn.
Glenn's a friend. He's from Texas.
My sister lives in Louisiana, by the way.
Where does she live?
She's back in New Orleans now.
Okay.
But she did all her education there. She went to Xavier, LSU.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
LSU.
And Tulane. She went to all them schools.
LSU. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about LSU.
We're not going to talk about LSU.
And how we
LSU.
Fucking get busy on the football field later on.
Texas won this weekend too.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it when y'all do that. Yeah.
Talk about the way Glenn wanted you for this. He's EPing this.
Yeah.
He sat down with you. Y'all had a different type of meetup as far as him pitching this to you.
Yeah.
And he particularly wanted you for this role. Can you talk about that?
The where?
Yeah, the where.
So New York City, probably a year ago, it's maybe 35 degrees outside. We're in the lower East Village at the Russian Turkish Baths. Which is one of my favorite places on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Been going there since I was probably 20 years old. And I get a phone call maybe 3 days later, earlier, saying, hey, you know, Glenn Powell, you know, wants to meet with you. He is EPing and he plays Tom Huttner, you know, which is essentially the co-star, you know, of the piece. He wants to meet with you. I say, okay, cool. But I'm doing this on this day. And he should just come meet me here. And they go, what, really? At the Russian Turkish Baths. Now, the Russian Turkish Baths are a New York staple, but they are extremely like New York. Like, it's not fancy, mm-hmm. but people are naked. It's hot, mm-hmm. you know. It's hot, you know. It's not glamorous. You know, right. It's not the Four Seasons. It's not none of that. It's just like, this is what it looks like. This is, you're going to get beat by stuff if you want. There's a room that we call the Hell Room. It's dark. It's about as big as this studio. There's a fucking lava pit over there. There's big buckets. It's hell.
That's some real John Wick.
Love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, love it. You know what I mean? Like Eastern Promises type
right.
shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Rounders.
And so you get, you know, our beautiful friend and colleague and brother, you know, Glenn Powell walking down the street. And they go, yeah, man, this is it. You walk in. It's essentially in a brownstone.
Right.
You walk in. You been?
No.
You walk in. And he's just cool. Have you met Glenn?
Mm-mm.
most beautiful spirit in the world. You know what I mean? Like piercing blue eyes, big ass smile, Texas, just like good old boy, you know, but the good old boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we in there and he's trying to pitch me on this film and literally I'm watching this man melt. I'm watching him just and I'm sitting there like, you good? Yeah. He's like, I'm good. And he's telling me the story of these two men who essentially, you know, they're fated. You know, these guys, Jesse and Tom, and they go through the fire together and they essentially have legacies because of each other. Mm. You know, they are the foils of each other. And the heroic things that Jesse does and Tom does, but Jesse's thrust into history was propelled by and then carried on by Tom Huttner, you know what I mean? Which led to the film and all this, blah, blah, blah. And so we're sitting there and it's going down and this boy is dying and he's pitching me and I just look at him and I go, I think we're going to make this movie, man. You know what I mean? He says, okay, cool. And he gets up and runs out.
He's like,
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's how it started. And November 23rd is when it's going to, all right.
So it's interesting. You guys make the movie, yep. And then in the midst of the movie, Glenn Powell really has his moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Top Gun Maverick. Well, you know, you go watch Top Gun Maverick. My man Jay is in Top Gun Maverick. And I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I wasn't expecting that shit to be that good, bro. I thought it was going to be cool.
Uh-huh.
But, like, he jumps off the screen in a different way. Like, Glenn Powell. Like you look at that guy and you go, there's a fucking movie star.
The movie star. Yeah.
And so
very few of those.
Very few, right? Yeah, what is that? Yeah. What is that? As somebody who's on the screen, because it happens, right?
Yeah.
To where you see someone and sometimes you're just so blown away by a performance. I'll give you an example of a different one. When I first saw Shaft, went to the theaters to see Shaft.
Which one?
The theaters,
that'd be Sam.
So that would be Sam, right? Yeah. So I go in the theaters to see Shaft and I'm like, yo, man, who plays the Puerto Rican guy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that guy was fucking amazing. Like, who is that guy?
Tiger Wu?
I like him. He's like, I'm like, who is that dude? And then, it's, you know, fucking, it's obviously, Jeffrey fucking Wright, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes, what is that we're seeing when we see someone, when they pop off of the screen?
Yeah.
Is that technique? Is that God given? What makes an actor glow like that?
You know, I mean, it's probably a secret. You know, it's probably something that, you know, it can't really be described. But I do know that it's an original quality. You know what I mean? Like, you look at somebody, you go, I've actually never seen that before. In a way, you go, I've never seen that before. And it usually comes from a certain self-possession, not necessarily confidence, but self-possession, where the person is very aware of who they are, you know, or who the character is. And when those things come together, you know, there's a certain, you get kind of a documentary feel. You know what I mean? When you shoot somebody in a documentary, they can be uncomfortable, but you're still looking at them like a wild animal because you don't know what they're going to do.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because they're so in their bodies. Even if they're in their head, they're in their bodies, you know? That's what you definitely get with Glenn Powell in Hangman. I mean, that performance is wicked. What he does in Devotion is just stunning. It's just beautiful. But Jeffrey, I mean, that's Jeffrey's quality, isn't it? I mean, I would just suggest, you've probably seen it, but Basquiat.
Yeah, I actually went back and saw that.
It's a wrap.
You know what I mean?
Talk about inspiration.
Yeah.
That film was like, okay, yeah, it's on.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's on. You know, you see a black man move like that, you know, on that level, you know, you're like, oh, it's on. You know, there's no barriers here, you know. And also, there's a little bit of fuck you in a movie star, quote unquote. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of like, I'm doing it like this. You know what I mean? And like, I'm doing it in private and you're just going to shoot it. You know what I mean? There's a certain, there's a lot of metal, you know, and sometimes I can shoot you in the foot, you know, but that's why they say, oh, they're difficult, you know. It's like, no, not difficult. They just have a very clear point of view on something, you know. I also think there's a certain preparation. You know, I know that for a fact with Glenn. You know, he's preparing his ass off, you know. So you got it, you know. But there's a magic quality, I think, overall.
You feel like you have it?
Bro, I don't watch them. You know what I mean? I don't watch them. So
really?
Yeah. I don't watch them. So, no, B, I just...
You don't watch your own movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like wait a minute. Nothing. So hold on for a second. So like I'll ask you this about you not watching your own movie. So we're watching you as he remains and we're marveling at it. We're like, Jesus Christ, he's nailing this, right? At the end of like blah blah blah. You've never seen that performance on screen?
I've seen the ADR. So if I had to go through ADR for those at home, you know, I know the homies know, but when we go through and dub it, right, something's messed up. Like, for instance, I know I eat an apple in it, right? And so sometimes you got, they don't want that. So I have to go through and, you know, put my voice on it to bump it up. You know what I mean? So I've seen that stuff. You know what I mean? And I can just see a quick image. You know what I mean? I'll go, oh, yeah, cool, cool, cool. But I actually try to avert my eyes as much as possible. I think for me, it's not my business. You know what I mean? I'm operating from this. You know, I'm just listening to, you know, teachers thinking about, I'm just in it. You know what I mean? And so on the, that's the thing, documentary, you know, that's one of the ways I try to work where it's like, this is just how it goes. This is how it goes. You know, I'm not worried about camera setup. I don't deal with marks. You know, I wear my costume all the time. You know, like you're just capturing what I'm doing now. You know what I mean? And it's not precious what you get, but the process of doing it is quite, I'm quite invested in that. And I told my directors, you know, like, this is all I get. You know what I mean? This is all I get. You know, I'm not going to watch your film after, no disrespect, but I'm probably going to watch it after this, you know? And I've been in, you know, screenings or whatever, and I'm sitting there with folks, you watching, I'm over here, you know, and then let me go to the bathroom or, you know, so I'm in and out, you know, I'm in and out. You know, if my homies are on the screen, I'll check it out. Oh, we could, but I know the script, obviously. So I go, okay, and I'm out. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes.
That's incredible. Curiosity would get me. Okay, I know we have to go. Let me just ask you this really quickly. Interviewed Michael B. Jordan, and he said that you should be People's Sexiest Man Alive. Reaction to that? On the cover of it.
Michael B. said that.
Yes, he did.
Michael B. Jordan, he was,
Yes, he
that's
did.
My motherfucking homie right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what he said.
That's my brother.
He said
my
normally
brother.
He wouldn't have an answer for that, but it should be you.
That is my brother, man. I really love that boy. I've said that twice this week. I love him. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that going through your mind with the men's fitness health thing? You thinking, I'm really about to fuck these women's heads up. What do you do? Last question. Yeah. When you're in a sexy man, I've never been in a sexy man shoot. That's not my, but you did some real sexy man shit and had everybody running scared. Was you thinking when you was doing your thing, you was like, I'm about to fuck them up right now. Were you thinking that? Like, what goes through your mind then?
That was a little Team Texas. I was just thinking, you know, do my best. Men's health, show them. You know what I mean? Show them. You know, there was a little. Yeah. There was a little aggression. I won't stunt. But yeah.
All right, you guys. The Devotion is the movie. It comes out November 23rd. I am looking forward to seeing this. I'm looking forward to Quantumania. I'm looking forward to see if, you know, you whoop Michael ass or if Michael whoop your ass in Creed 3. I'm just looking forward to everything you got coming, man. Like you know, you've been killing it. You're an amazing actor, and we're happy to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes,
on
thank
God bless y'all. And y'all be doing the shit. I mean, I listen every day. So I'm like, two this week? Oh, hell yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Thank you.
I appreciate
y'all.
I appreciate
so intelligent and so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.